story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell of the glory most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, then tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Amen. I like that. Only thing is, we never get it all told. I love to tell it, though, and how, what good news it is, what Jesus did for us as sinners, giving his life a ransom. Well, we will get back to the book of Luke, which we started several months ago now. But before I do, I do want to say a word of appreciation for the good meal we had last Sunday. I'm sure we all can say amen to that because we all enjoyed it, enjoyed the good fellowship as well as the food, and we appreciate that very much. We're going back to the fourth chapter of Luke, if I remember right, where we stopped off a week before last. Of course, we observed the Lord's Supper last week and how we enjoyed it in remembrance of our Lord and what he did for us. We are down at the 31st verse of the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We have a heading over the scripture that we're going to look at as the man with an unclean spirit. And certainly he was at one time, and we will see that. But I like for us to think as a man set free from the unclean spirit, how he was delivered from that evil, unclean spirit that he possessed. We have noticed that Jesus had to leave Nazareth, his hometown, as he went back and read scripture and preached to them and began to give them some illustrations about how God has worked in other people's life, and especially those Gentiles that he mentioned, that Elijah and Elisha were sent to, they become very angry and wanted to throw him off the bluff and headlong, the scripture said. But the verse just before where we are setting in at this service, that he passed through the midst of them and went his way. And we find him going from Nazareth down to Capernaum, which was near, just north side of the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum was a well-known place that we find Jesus going many times. But before we begin to get into that, let's just read our text. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his words was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Thou art come to destroy us. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had tore him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth, and the unclean spirit, and they came out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about." If correctly read, reading through that section of the 31st verse through the 37th. Now, as we were saying a moment ago, as he had come down from Nazareth to Capernaum, we looked in the reference of the city of Capernaum. I knew many times we would read it going through the New Testament, where Jesus would return. There are some 16 references where Jesus would return back at times. And you remember when he's around Jerusalem, he went to Bethany of Judea. So these was kind of a hub for Jesus to go to because he had ones there that would provide for him. But keep in mind what Jesus said in the 9th chapter of Luke, the 58th verse. He said, the scripture, the Lord spoke and said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. I mean, he didn't have no dwelling place. He would have to go to friends. And many times he spent the night in the wilderness, as we've already studied, and many times in the mountains and different places. But here we find the city of Galilee, lower part of Galilee, Capernaum we're talking about, was a home of Matthew, one of the apostles. Also, we find Peter, Simon Peter, the scripture said, that had a home there that Jesus called to go with him and serve him, and probably his brother Andrew, because they was there at the coast when the Lord called them to go with him. And when I was studying this, my mind went back to experience I had while one of the trips to the Philippines. We was at sea's shore of one of the islands that we was on. And it was a elder man and his wife sat back in the back, and I during the intermission times I got acquainted with him, and he told me some things that made me think of the text we are studying here. He would go to an island, you could see it, I say it was at least 10 miles, if not further, from, he pointed it out to us, and he told me approximately how many miles, I forgot how many it was, but he said, I'm the only one I know of that would go over and preach to those people, because is many of them there is demon-possessed, and they are afraid to go. But I remember what the Scripture tells me, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So he would take his little boat and small motor and go across and preach to them. And one of the brethren from the church where I was pastoring then gave me a sum of money. He said, now, I don't know the needs of the people, and I don't know what it may be, but you seek out a need, and you give this love gift to them. So I didn't have any trouble. Here's a dear old brother getting up in years, but he would take the opportunity to go over and preach the gospel to many there that was probably as bad a shape as this man we're going to study, had an unclean spirit. And I looked for him the last time I was there, and he wasn't in our services, so I don't know what happened to him. He may be with the Lord now, I don't know. But that blessed my heart to know that he wasn't afraid of the demon power, because he said, I've got the greater one. And he is the greater one. So some may not believe that people is demon possessed, but in the days that we live, and of course maybe because of the gospel in our part of the world and the preaching of the gospel, maybe we don't see as much sign of it as it is in some countries and in some parts of our country even. But anyhow, there is, Satan does have his people, and they are possessed, and certainly they are manifest himself greatly at times. In 1 John 4:4, we have, "Ye are God, little children, and have overcome them." That's the reference we had a minute ago. I want to get the whole verse. "Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." So how we overcome is through him. So we are thankful for the victory we have over this evil spirit. All right, next verse, "And they was astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." We don't have the complete message that Jesus preached that day in the synagogue at Capernaum like we did at Nazareth. We have it recorded and we can meditate on it. But I'm sure it was something that those people hadn't heard. I mean, this, he was speaking with power. He was preaching and they was astonished. Somewhat different than the scribes and the Pharisees that has been their teacher. And because when Jesus would speak, regardless of what subject that he might be using, it was with power. And of course, that's because he was the eternal Son of God. And he spoke forth. And while we was there in 1 John, I found a verse I'd like to share with you. 1 John 3:8. "For he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God is manifested, that he should destroy the works of the devil." And oh, I'm thankful that he's already took care of lots of that as he came victorious over death and alive forevermore. Yes, he spoke with power. But we are told in this meeting place, you know, I may have mentioned this, but the synagogue was places that the Jews would meet on the Sabbath day. They could not travel all the way to Jerusalem where the temple was located. And they would have these meeting places that scattered throughout the country. And of course, they couldn't travel, you know, just so far on the Sabbath day anyway. But special days, they did take time to travel before and after to get back to Jerusalem. But this day, there was a man which had a spirit of as an unclean devil. And he cried with a loud voice. No doubt in the preaching and the teaching that our Lord was doing, the devil realized that this, and which caused this man to cry out and begin to say some things. And he was saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thy Jesus of Nazareth?" He knew who Jesus was. Don't Satan and all of his forces know that who Jesus is? See, Satan, the devil himself, he has many demons, and they are scattered throughout the world. And this one was possessed, this man was possessed of him. We have many occasions of this in the scriptures. But he said, and here he asked the question, also, art thou come to destroy us? And I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. So the devil knows, and in this man's being possessed of him, this demon power was crying out these things. And certainly we are faced with evil spirits. I won't go into the details, but I have had a few occasions in trying to serve the Lord in the capacity as a pastor, visiting people and at different times, and I believe that I have come in contact with people that was possessed. I mean, talking about getting sick at your stomach and just, I mean, it was a real struggle to even to talk to them, much less to pray in their presence. And then I thought of the scripture over in Ephesians 6:12. Tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness in high places. And oh, as we think today, the times that we live in, we are in a warfare against, not so much against flesh and blood, but in principalities, powers that be, and against rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual weakness in high places. But I'm thankful that also we have scriptures, as we will see what happened to this man, and thankful that it's happened to many of us. Trust everyone that's present. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Colossia, Corinthians. I just made abbreviation here, and I need to correct. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that's lost, and in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, should, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. So let us know that we not only wrestle with the wickedness of Satan, the rulers, and all the things of this darkness of this world, but yet we are thankful to see what the Lord has done for us when the glorious gospel did shine unto us. But now notice what James gives us a record of. In the 2nd chapter of James, verse 19, thou believest there's one God. You know, some just say, I don't believe in Jesus, I just believe it's God, or they have a God they made up. But he said, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And this is the evidence here of a time that we have the record of, that the devil certainly was and his demon power that was in this man when he began to cry out, I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth, and are you come to destroy us? And we know that thou art the Holy One of God. Notice here with us what happened. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. and the devil had tore him in the midst, and he came out of him and hurt him not. The power of the word of our Lord. Hold your peace. Come out of him. And then he did everything he could before he departed. But thank the Lord, the scripture said, he came out and it didn't hurt him. He wasn't hurt. And notice, saying, hold your peace. Put a muzzle over you. Shut up. And come out of it. And he did. And the devil threw him in the midst. But as I said a moment ago, it didn't hurt him. Oh, what a great lesson and example of the sovereignty of God. I'm thankful we got an all-powerful God. And he can work in a man, even though he came to their meeting there to synagogue, but yet being possessed and knowing that he couldn't do the anything except be present, and probably with the demon power even try to hinder the service of the Lord. But I'm thankful that our God is greater. Our Lord is in control of all the demon powers. Of the devil, even the devil himself. Now, if you say, well, preacher, I just don't know about that. Well, maybe you need to read the first two chapters of Job. I mean, the devil had to get permission from the Lord to even touch his servant Job. And that's another story. We could get off on that, but the lesson is that if Satan's going to get at us, he's got to come by the Lord himself before he can get to us. That's marvelous to me. We were studying this morning. Brother Flavius was pointing out the reference of God's hand. And, of course, there in the 10th chapter of John where the Lord told us that his sheep is in his hands, and then the Father's hands is around his hands, and oh, what security we have in the Lord. And notice, after this took place, we are told in the 36th verse that they were all amazed and spake among themselves, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirit, and he came out. Yes, they had something to marvel about. Here's a man that was possessed with this demon power that's just been set free and from it. So the word went out throughout the country about the Lord Jesus and his power and how he can deliver people from the bondage of Satan. We can remember back to the 18th verse when he was at Nazareth, when he read the scripture there from the book of Isaiah. Says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Notice the next part. And preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. And that's exactly what was going on, not only in Nazareth, but now in Capernaum, there as he manifest himself so greatly. We was looking there in 2 Corinthians earlier in the 4th chapter, and we see in this fourth verse, in whom God of this world has blinded the mind of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, thank God for the glorious gospel. And how Satan does his best to blind the people that's don't know the Lord and their minds here that don't believe, but and trying to hinder. But I'm thankful for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that overcomes. And then we would look at maybe just a few more verses here in 2 Timothy, the second chapter in the 24th verse, where we are told concerning we that try to spread the gospel. It said the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Notice that oppose themselves. If God, preadventure, will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who had taken captive by him at his will. Yes, we see that takes place. But oh, how thankful we are for the power of the gospel and the Lord granting repentance to the knowledge of the truth where there can be deliverance. In the Gospel of John, let's notice just a verse or two here. 8th chapter and the 31st verse, John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Talking about deliverance. Oh, the truth is the only thing which set us free. Not just some idea of man, but what thus says the word of God. This that what Christ has accomplished and what he can do for us. The truth will make you free. Then on down in that chapter, the 36th verse, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, that's what took place there that day, that the Son made this man free, delivered from that bondage he was in, and seeing that the power of Satan had to go when the Lord spoke to him. Yes, some of us may be amazed to think about that Satan knowed who Jesus was, this demon power. Well, he was present in eternity when he was cast out. And then, of course, Jesus had come now in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. So Jesus had power over it. And that's why that man there that had the unclean spirit was set free, because the Son made him free. Come out of him, and he had to come. And he was delivered. And how much knowledge it brought to those Jews that was present. I don't know how many that but was believers that on Jesus at this time, and might have been very few. But one thing about it, they knew he had power. And he had power over the demon power. And they was amazed what had taken place. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Yes, it's already begun to take place. And of course, we will see on down in this chapter as we would be looking at it, how Jesus healed many and how he preached again in the synagogue there at Galilee. So we can just keep a finding times after times where the power of the Lord was made manifest. But you know, it's one thing that we can rejoice in this instant that we studied this morning. But you know, I believe that many of us could give testimony of that. Back when maybe we wasn't even beginning to think about the condition we was in, but the power of the gospel took place. And when Jesus was lifted up as the only Savior, and when we realize he's the one that died for us, he's the one that was buried and rose again the third day. Yes, the power of the gospel. And how this is what's needed today. This is what set us free from that bondage of sin. You said, preacher, you believe we was all possessed. Well, Satan had a hold on us, didn't he? Yes, we was. He was having his way in many of our lives until Jesus set us free. But oh, how wonderful it is to know we are free indeed, because what the Lord has done for us. Let us pray again. Father, oh, how thankful we are for your power that works within us. And Father, we pray that you would take your word today and, Lord, not just be this unworthy servant's words that's being said, but may it go forth in the power and, Lord, of the Holy Spirit, that he may work the work that's needed in each of our hearts. Lord, we know how great you are, and we could study many, many hours of your greatness and see many illustrations from your word. But Lord, how wonderful it is to see your power manifest among us. So, Father, as we conclude the service this morning, if there's any among us, Lord, that hadn't had deliverance from that wicked one and have a new life in Christ, may this be the day. And, Lord, we would thank you and give you the praise for it all, because it would be in your power and your work if this would ever take place. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Say again, I appreciate each of you that's come to be in service, and we trust that we can all meet back again and say to the visitors, we are certainly happy to have y'all with us this morning. May we stand together for our closing prayer. Brother Kirkendall, would you lead the prayer for us?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a blessing to have been here today. Lord, we thank you for the preaching of your word. Thankful for the good sermon that we heard and one brought. Thankful for the hymn singing and praises, Lord. Thankful for the prayers for ourselves and for others. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do on our behalf. Help us always, Lord, to look to you for the guidance and direction that we might live our lives in accordance with what you taught us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.